This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memories of Rene Goulet and Randy Cauley.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price!
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you!
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
ROH presents a new champion at Final Battle. NWA has a villain step into the fire, and WWE presents TLC. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event as we are live on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's a pay-per-view night, so joining me in studio, the butcher to my blade, Dan the Mouth Labransky. That's a contemporary one I went with there.
That's
this time
pretty good.
Out.
As long as I'm not the bunny, I'm happy.
No, no one wants to see us in that. Mouth, three pay-per-views in one weekend and a few new champions.
Yeah, a few new champions and some new initials, I would like to say. I would like to spell TLC CRAP. That is my review of tonight's show. I mean, it's always one of the weaker shows on the WWE calendar, but this time it started great and really headed for the depths. But we are going to give you the complete rundown. We'll give you a chance to get your thoughts because we want to hear from you. What did you think of TLC?
You got it. It's our monthly live show, so we're definitely looking for your phone calls tonight. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. At SNME Radio is where you can interact with me on the Twitter machine, and along with that, join the conversation on our Facebook group. We use it for feedback. Just search SNME Radio. It's a group. I'll find you, approve it, and you'll be into the mix. We're going to take a break and come back to recap and review WWE TLC. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Asuka to the top. Becky. Asuka. And Kyrie Sane retains. The Kabuki Warriors retain. Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
There's that Fight King. What fight you were talking about?
Oh.
Are they out here? The Kabuki Warriors retain. But
where
right now, King Corbin and Roman Reigns.
They're back out here in the arena.
What the heck is this?
It's behind us, guys.
Everybody's out there swinging.
King Corbin rocked. And Roman Reigns. Spoon!
Oh, no.
You got to be kidding me. It's the Flail. I can't believe what we just saw.
Saw it on a tube. Bought it on a phone. Now you're home alone with a piece of crap.
I'm surprised you resisted yelling that out as I was playing the song there, Mouth.
Well, I'm trying to keep a measure of decorum if I can, Jay, before I get too carried away with this piece of crap.
Well, that is definitely what it was tonight. It seems that every time I bring you in here to do a show with me, we got to watch something real bad. At least that's been the last little bit.
Hey, man, I enjoy your company, and the pizza was good.
The pizza was, it was actually exceptionally good tonight. Thank you, Domino's. here we go. It's the TLC show. Listen, Mouth, of course, we're going to be taking phone calls tonight at 1-866-729-2562, looking for your feedback. Off the top of this show, I mean, we can say it's bad all we want, but I want to talk about the problem that I think a lot of this stems from. It's lack of planning, and along with that, it is the pay-per-view name and stipulation dictating the matches
right
on the card,
yeah,
as opposed to the storyline and the feuds dictating what stipulations are going to be for the matches.
Bingo. When you have a pay-per-view where the stipulations are more important than the storyline, then you're bound to run into problems because you're just tossing stuff out there for the sake of the pay-per-view. And yeah, and that's what the show was like tonight. There was really no reason for any of the stipulations in the matches that did have stipulations.
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't as much as normal. There were no stairs involved this year, Mouth.
Mm.
Remember that?
Yes.
Big show in Rowan with stairs. But nonetheless, this really seemed to have No reason to happen.
No, there was no rhyme or reason to a lot of this show. There was a lot of really gaping holes of logic in a lot of the matches. And it was honestly the thing I think that bothered me the most, that for a show that is kind of marketed as being exciting and dynamic and in your face, I found this show incredibly boring. I was not captivated in any way. I was not emotionally engaged in any way. Especially the women's main event TLC match, I just found it went on way too long. And yeah, it was just not a captivating show.
I find it very funny that in looking down the roster of all the matches tonight, my favorite match was one with no stipulations, and that was Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy.
Right.
I did enjoy that match. I thought the guys worked together really well, and that can't be said for a lot of matches on this show. So we're going to run it down, then we are going to look for your phone calls. Hey, we're on early tonight, because that's another thing that's very strange about WWE. You know, we have in the past complained about how long the pay-per-views were. This one wasn't all that long tonight. It felt long.
Well, see,
that's a different thing.
That's the thing. It was only a little over 3 hours, yet it felt much longer.
Did it ever?
Yeah.
It seems that WWE has got a real real thing for getting out early and getting these Stone Cold shows on tonight, him and Goldberg,
right?
And, you know, doing their little chat afterwards, and they want to hit 10:30 for that, which, you know, is fine with us, and TSN was good enough to allow us to go on the air early, so thank you for tuning in. We're reviewing TLC.
You know,
let's get to it.
I'm glad that they've adapted the less is more, but...
Let's not say they've adapted that.
Yeah.
I don't think that we can say that in total.
You don't think it's going to happen? Okay.
No, I just don't think that they've done it.
All right.
I still don't, because there's still a lot of content
That's the thing. Even though it was less is more, I still felt it was way too long.
Starting things off, it was the pre-show. The panel was Coach Booker, Rotunga, and Charlie. The Revival interrupted them when they're talking about AOP. The Revival dropped a Stevie Ray reference, which was kind of funny in regards to Booker T and challenging them. Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo. Listen, you know, we saw this already on Raw. That's where they teased Andrade and Zelina having dissension. And
This
match was here strictly to do that. And maybe, showcase Humberto's moves a little bit.
It was to just basically reinforce what we saw on Raw on Monday. Humberto won the match again, and that was it. That was basically the tease at the end of the match of Andrade and Zelina breaking up there. So that's really, it was just a reinforcement of what we saw on Monday.
Tell me something. Why is it when you do a reverse Hurricanrana off the top, you try to top that with a basic moonsault off the top? Isn't that backwards?
I mean,
not backwards, but like, why do you need the moonsault when you've just done a spectacular reverse Hurricanrana?
Well, I mean, we could say that about lots of matches where you see a move that you think that should be the finish and the match still goes on for 10 minutes.
If Zelina and Andrade break up, like, to me, that was a good act in NXT.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure you can say that about a lot of acts in NXT that were fairly good and then have found no home on the roster. But I just, you know, I don't know why they're breaking this up. They haven't even had a good run.
Well, that's it exactly. That's a great point. They've done nothing. How can you break them up when they've really done nothing? We hardly ever see them. Like, there's no reason to even think about breaking them up because, you've done nothing with them.
Is this a way, perhaps, if you're pushing this within the Carrillo feud, that Zelina and Carrillo are the answer here? Because he cannot talk.
But
I think Andrade can more so than Humberto.
Okay, but do you want her being a baby face?
No, I don't
see
either.
And I don't see Humberto. He is like baby face personified.
Oh, for sure.
And there's no way you're going to turn. Exactly. There's no way you're going to turn that guy heel. So I don't know. I'm left speechless on that one. I think they're messing with something they don't need to mess with.
He's like the wrestling version of Mario Lopez.
Yeah,
AC Slater.
He's totally a pretty boy, right?
TLC pay-per-view starts up. We kick things off with a ladder match. The SmackDown tag titles are on the line. It's the New Day versus the Revival. These guys kill themselves out there.
Big E. Poor Big E. Big E must have got slammed on ladders. Either did splashes onto ladders. He got slammed onto ladders. He got ladders dropped on top of him. Like, he's the trooper in these matches. He takes the most insane bumps in these matches.
They did that teeter-totter spot with Kofi hitting the ladder into the Revival's face. I always cringe when they do that because I have those flashbacks to Joey Mercury.
Yes.
Taking it right in the face and busting his jaw and teeth on up. And as you mentioned, you know, Big E taking a lot of bumps here. We did have the big ending to Dash Wilder when he was like halfway up the ladder. And then finally, we got Kofi knocking Scott Dawson off the ladder and grabbing both the titles. So, you know, the New Day retains. At this point, you know, this is a good match to start.
I liked it. Yeah. I mean, the New Day are almost guaranteed. You put them in the opener, you're going to get your show off to a good start. And I agree. I thought the guys worked really hard in this one, and I was happy. At this point, I was feeling good. I'm like, okay, show's doing good. All right, good match to start things off.
We're just going to monitor Mouth's mood as we go,
as we go through this. Yes.
Kayla's with Baron Corbin. He says he's not concerned about tonight's match. That's for peasants. And then we get into the match that I really enjoyed tonight, and that was Buddy Murphy versus Aleister Black. The one thing I did enjoy, this is so silly, but honestly, Aleister Black's tights were olive green, and he had a big black design on the back, and it looked like he crapped his pants.
It does. It looks like just a big black splotch, and with the olive green shorts that he has. And then once Mr. Agnew said that, that's all I could think. Like, once he said that, I could not get that out of my head. Every time I'd see that on his tights, I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I tweeted that out just to share that with the world so everyone else could have that experience as well. And listen, in this match, Mouth, I don't know, it definitely wasn't intentional, but Aleister Black got his mouth messed up, his nose messed up, and either he was actually in a bunch of pain or the guy knows how to sell really well because he kept touching his jaw.
I have a feeling it was both.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I have a feeling it was both. And Jerry Lawler was really trying to put over that it was a broken nose as well. But I agree. I think he was in pain, and I think he did a great job of selling. But, yeah, he was partially because it was the real deal. Black won with his black mask kick, of course.
Oh, but hold on. Before you get there, I mean, I also thought that the way that the match played out, if that wasn't planned, that Murphy did a great job of continually going for the weakened nose and jaw. That's actually why I enjoyed this match so much.
It made sense.
I'm not one to really dive into work rate and psychology. I prefer storylines, but in this match, I was watching the story of the match,
and
I very much enjoyed what these two guys did.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought I even loved the thing at the beginning where they both sat down in the ring and just stared at each other. I thought that was a really cool spot. And I thought Buddy Murphy looked really great in this. Very aggressive, right? That's, I think, the most aggressive I've seen Murphy look.
To me, this is the type of feud and the type of match where by the end of it, you're doing a respect angle and these two guys could very well turn into a tag team. Neither one of them really has anything going on. I mean, and I think that Aleister Black had a real chance of having something going on, but they locked him in the damn room for so long, and he had the injury. It really cooled him off. So if they can heat up this feud and then spin these guys into a tag team, perhaps there's something there. So Aleister Black kind of got the win out of nowhere here with the black mask. All right, Charlie's with Rusev next. Rusev's happy because when Lana gets remarried, he doesn't have to pay alimony. I thought that match was coming next. No, it's not. Instead, something we definitely did not need on the show was next, and that was the Raw tag titles, the Viking Raiders with the Open Challenge. But more importantly, there is a group of four fans who get to sit at ringside and eat KFC while this match is happening because KFC bought a sponsorship.
This was really ridiculous.
Listen, Mouth, if KFC bought a sponsorship on this show, I would force you eat it all show long, okay? So I can't really complain about it, but, you know, you are WWE. I don't think you need to sacrifice your product that much to put these people at ringside.
Well, especially on a show like TLC. Like, to me, a show where this is supposed to be about intensity and aggressiveness and using the ladders and chairs, and here's four happy little kids with buckets of chicken and things of cold. Slow. They were pretty young, though.
They were not that young.
They were young. Yes, it was. It just looked really silly. It looked really goofy. And of course, they had to. Anderson gets power bombed through the KFC food table at one point, and it wasn't there for a match. It honestly was there for the KFC. Like, honestly, that's the only reason I felt that match was there.
They did the open challenge. To me, though, this is more so something that they can do on Raw. It didn't have to happen tonight. We saw the appearance of the tag team trophy from Saudi Arabia because it was the OC that came out and took up the challenge. If you were going to do this on a pay-per-view, to me, what it could have really screamed is the return of the Usos. Because they've been away so long, it would have made it feel kind of special if the Usos came out to have this match.
That's true, but obviously they're not ready. I don't think they're ready.
No, I think that there's some serious issues there.
Yeah, I don't think that they're,
if you do an open challenge and you do an open challenge on a pay-per-view, I just expect more than what I see on Raw, and I expect more than a double count-out finish as well, which is ridiculous.
That I didn't like either, and neither did the crowd. The crowd booed that one instantly, and I didn't like it either, and it came just out of nowhere. Both teams were kind of on the outside, and they got counted out very quickly. I mean, double countouts always make me laugh when they other times they'll let guys run all over the place and go wild, and it's like, what? You know, it only works when they want it to work type of thing. So the KFC thing really put me off, and I like the Viking Raiders, and I didn't really like them being put in a situation like this where it's involved with a bunch of little kids eating KFC.
They were not children, Mouse.
Well, they were young. They looked young to me. That one little girl, she looked really young to me. I don't know.
I don't know about that. All right.
Whatever age they were, I
just
don't want to see
fans at ringside. I get it.
Eating KFC.
Not kids. Kayla and the Miz.
They were kids.
Kayla is interviewing the Miz. Speaking of kids, that's what the Miz talks about.
He did.
His family has been moved to an undisclosed location.
Witness protection program.
I bet maybe Quebec with Maurice's family.
Quebec, maybe.
Then Miz plays wrestler and gets mad and says it's the most important and personal match of his entire life. Tonight he's not fighting as the Miz. He's fighting as a husband, father, and man protecting his family. I can't believe anything this guy says. He's a bad actor, and he's the one who prides himself on being
an
actor.
Yeah, and of course, you think they're going to that match next.
Yeah, I
Which
did.
Which they didn't.
No.
For some reason tonight, they were really into just not going, yeah.
Very surprised. The next match instead, I actually thought would be the main event. And you know
Me
what,
too.
Mouth? I guess it turned out to be the last thing we saw, if you think about it. Because the TLC match of Corbin and Reigns was the last thing we saw on the show.
Brutal.
But this thing starts by there being a line of security in front of the ring, who then run at Reigns one by one, which is exactly what happened on SmackDown. He tosses one of them into a table on the stage, almost misses. Like, this guy just caught the edge of the table.
Yes, he just caught the edge of the table, yeah.
I mean, and then Corbin runs up the ramp, and it was just plunder, plunder, plunder.
Yeah, well, that's it, exactly. I mean, it was so bad that one of the Spanish announcers actually jumped over the barrier, and he was doing his commentary while standing in the crowd. Despite all this stuff going on, the crowd did really not seem to be into it. They were not, I don't think they were really enjoying that match that much. At one point, of course, we had to have a dog food reference, because that's been the big thing over the last couple of weeks. So he hit Roman in the head with a dog food can, put Roman through a table. Reigns did a Samoan drop to one of him through the announce table. Dolph Ziggler was hiding under the ring and came out at one point, clotheslined Reigns and beat on him with Corbin. Dolph had the handcuffs again as well that they used with Kofi on SmackDown, but they never came into play. They never did actually come into play. Reigns took out more of Corbin's security guards. How many security guys does he have? And then the Revival ran down and they attacked Reigns as well. And all this stuff's going on and the crowd is just like kind of sitting there. No one really cares. The Revival gave Reigns a shatter machine, and then Corbin did the end of days on a chair finally, and that was the end of the match. So Corbin wins. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this feud to begin with, and I'm certainly not a fan of Corbin, so the match really didn't do much for me.
All right, let's take a look at this match, because this is one of the things that I mean by TLC being the name of the pay-per-view, and these guys having to be in a TLC match. There was nothing to be put above the ring for them to climb,
no.
So it's just a match with plunder.
Yep.
Listen, I was not a fan of adding stairs years ago because it really didn't make sense, but if they're going with dog food, then why isn't the C instead of chairs, collars? It's TLC, the C stands for collars, and it's a dog collar match.
Yeah, they could have done that. They could.
It's at least makes
it's
more
a connection. A connection. That's true. That's a connection. Yeah, it's a connection. I mean, their thing with the dog food was that because Roman always calls himself the big dog, so I thought, okay, we'll cover you in dog food. But
well, that's it. But then you at least have a connection because there's just no relevance to TLC for anything that's going on.
No. It's just that time of year when we do that show. So this is what happens.
And
let
me. How about this, Mel? Like, you have Corbin having all of his peasants and peons come down and help him. Does Roman Reigns have no friends now that Ambrose and Rollins are not around?
That's it.
Like, he has zero people that will come out to help him. It was 12-on-1, basically,
was
with security.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, again, it's one of those ones makes the babyface look like a dummy.
Like,
why didn't he? If this has already happened to him, why wouldn't he go get some guys to help him?
Maybe this. I mean, I guess I don't know why I'm pushing for this so much. But if the Usos should come back, there is Cousins.
Right. That's right.
There's a family
connection.
There is.
There's a family connection.
Somebody just, get them well.
This is just the classic to me. The WWE, they do it all the time where they make the babyface look like a stupid idiot.
And it just he's such a loner. If anything, Baron Corbin is the lone wolf. Mm. He's the loner.
That was his gimmick.
The lone wolf now has all these friends. Can someone please explain what's happened here? Not friends.
Well, he's not the lone wolf now. He's the king now, exactly. So the king always has his entourage, right?
He's the Lord of the Rings king well after that show has gone off the air. The Miz versus Bray Wyatt is next. I'll give this one thing, Mouth. No stips, and most importantly, no red light tonight. Because it's not The Fiend, it's
right.
Bray Wyatt. Bray comes out to the Firefly Funhouse theme. The crowd is all over this. I mean, to start this, you got to admit, they were behind him because they've never seen this before.
Right, they haven't seen Wyatt for so long.
Yowie wowie, the crowd is chanting at this point. And I have to admit that I was intrigued by the beginning of the match because Bray refused to fight back for the most part, and Miz just got to have offense. Now, the problem came, much like Miz's acting and the promo was so bad, as is his offense. Because he's doing moves that Daniel Bryan initially did, and now he's doing them.
They don't look good. Yeah, they don't look good. No, they don't look good. I thought it was kind of strange that how quick it all went by, but that was because they were going to do some extra stuff afterwards. But it was a very short match, and even though Miz did seem to have most of the offense, once the tide turned, Wyatt won very quickly with the Sister Abigail on Miz. And then at that point, we see the Fiend face on the big screen. Yep. We see the Fiend. And then Wyatt goes out, and he gets that friggin' Bugs Bunny cartoon sludge hammer out with the big giant wooden head on it.
Which Michael Cole had never seen before. Did you notice that reaction?
Did he say that?
He had, what is that? That's a big mallet. Cole, you've seen this damn thing already.
Would you never watch cartoons when you were a kid? Come
Bray
on.
Bray Wyatt has brought this out before.
I know. It's just ridiculous. And so he said he was here, and then it went dark, that old trick where someone out back turning off the lights for us, and Daniel Bryan appeared. He's cut off his beard. He's cut his hair. He had his red hoodie on. He looks more actually how he did in his Ring of Honor days.
American Dragon.
Yes, exactly. And he went after Bray Wyatt, and the crowd got into this for a little bit. He gave him 3 drop kicks in the corner, then he stomped on him, and then just as Bryan went to cork Wyatt with the sledgehammer, the lights went out, and everyone was gone. Bryan came back, and Bryan was standing there, and everyone was gone, including Miz.
I think he just
rolled out of the ring, and that was it. So, I mean, I didn't like it. I mean, they had to do something, obviously, with the Daniel Bryan thing because of the Fiend kidnapping him and all that. The crowd got excited at the end when Bryan led them in the yes chant, but that was really about it.
What I thought was going to happen, and I told you this during the show.
Yes, and it was terrible.
I thought the lights
were
going to turn off.
Your idea was horrible.
Let the listeners decide. The lights were going to turn off, then the Fiend would appear in the ring, and it would be Daniel Bryan in the Fiend mask. And then Bray Wyatt would be shocked, and then he'd hit him with double knees. And oh my goodness, what an angle it would be. What a time it would be, Dan Lebransky.
I take what happened here over what you suggest, I think. I don't think I wanted to see that.
We are running down the TLC pay-per-view tonight. This offering that the WWE gave us. We'll be welcoming your phone calls in the next segment for those that are on the line. Hang on, we are almost there. But listen, with the bad pay-per-view, there's lots to talk about. And it continues on with the next match, which is the tables match. Rusev versus Lashley. No one cares.
No. Despite the fact that they did a kind of funny TMZ-style vignette.
I like that.
Off the top of the pay-per-view.
It.
Yeah, it was fun.
Clever.
But the thing is, it shows how dumb and stupid your angle is.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
I agree with you.
To me, it just made it look like, wow, you're really telling us how actually stupid this angle is by doing this piece. I mean, like all of these matches, they fight outside for a while. And then, of course, you know, this one is the match where each one of them has to put the other through the table to win the match. I think both of them, their brawling is horrible, so it was not very much fun to watch. Lashley put Rusev through a guardrail at one point, which doesn't win you the match. It's not a table. They caned the crap out of each other to the point, to me, again, where it was just boring. Lashley tried to put Rusev through one table, and it didn't break. So then he was lucky there was another table in the corner of the ring, so he suplexed him. That one broke, and he won. Like, I mean, I hate the angle. I don't like the angle, and it's gone on too long, and I thought the match was really boring. I think they're bad brawlers, and when they get the kendo sticks out and then just hit each other for 5 minutes, I lose interest, so...
Well.
It did nothing for me, this match.
Two things. I mean, we'd already seen kendo sticks earlier in the night, so I don't think that they should have done that twice. There was no need for it. They should have done it in one match and not two. And along with that, you did miss the part. Lana actually jumped in to get involved, and that allowed Lashley to gain the advantage. And then, yeah, the table forgot his spot.
The table forgot to break.
They then cut backstage to a fight between Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin, and seemingly everyone else in the dressing room.
Shorty G was there. Buddy Murphy was there.
Very weird. I don't think Aleister Black was, because I think he might have been...
They didn't explain this or anything.
No.
These guys were just a bunch of guys all of a sudden were fighting. Like, it's, and there was no reason. Why should we believe that Corbin and Reigns are still fighting after all this time, after their match? Like,
well, they started it there, but then they fought all the way through the women's TLC match, which was our main event tonight. The Raw Tag Team titles are on the line. The Kabuki Warriors, your champions, versus Charlotte and Becky. Let's keep in mind here, I did say the belts were on the line. The belts were hung above the ring. This had justification of being at least a ladder match to hang these belts. But everyone forgot that in this match. And on top of that, Mouth, I know we talk about what good workers Asuka and Kairi Sane are. But in this match, Kairi Sane was lost the entire match. And I don't know what happened with the powerbomb in the middle of the match.
But
we'll get there.
I saw Becky at least three different occasions blatantly telling her what to do. Like, it was like, this wasn't just obvious, here's the next spot. This was blatantly telling her. Again, that was what killed this match for me. I think, you know, we always talk about a lot in these matches where they get going with the ladders and stuff, and they start to do all these outrageous stunts, and none of them try to go after the belt.
Yeah.
And I think this has got to be the worst example we've ever seen of this. Like, I mean, I know the Hardys used to do it and that all the time, but this one, this was really bad. There was big, big chunks, because this match was long, as was the main event. It was almost half an hour, and there were huge chunks where they just continued, and they'd have, two of them would be late out, and the other two could have easily grabbed a ladder and went up and got the belts, and they just kept doing more and more stunts and more spots, and it just got to the point where it was ridiculous. I mean, we had Kairi Sane with a fire extinguisher. We had Asuka with a bull rope here at one time.
As you said, her dedication to Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen. Like, it's just, and they were trying to do all these big stunts. The girls were getting lost, like you mentioned. The crowd did not seem to be into this at all, and this tells you how bad it was. That not only are we complaining that they're not going for the belts, even the announcers were saying, you know, why aren't they going for the belts? They should be going up there for the belts, you know, and stuff like that. So it was just a horrible match, you know. The main finish, Becky tried to climb the ladder, but it was attached to a rope. So Kairi Sane pulled the ladder over, so Becky went flying, and that allowed Asuka to get in there. She got up there and grabbed the title. So they're still the champions, but... the match, again, the match did nothing for me. It didn't do anything to emotionally engage me. And it just frustrated me really badly that they were so aggressively trying to do crazy spots and just completely kind of ignoring what you're supposed to do in the match. And I hated it. I thought it was terrible.
So do you think this eclipsed Hell in a Cell for worst pay-per-view of the year?
Well, the thing that bothers me about this one is, A, this main event was horrible. And this show got progressively worse as it went.
So did Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell main event was the worst main event in WWE history, I think.
It was really bad because of the lights and all that silliness. But yeah, I'll have to go back and watch Hell in a Cell. But I'm just right now.
You're gonna do that to yourself?
Yeah, I will. I'm dedicated.
Well,
Jay.
our worst of show is coming
exactly.
up in just a couple
I gotta
weeks.
Do my research.
That'll be a fierce battle.
It's going to be a toss-up between, and definitely for worst match, it's going to be a toss-up between this one and the Seth Fiend one from Hell in a Cell.
Wait a minute, wasn't Undertaker or Goldberg this year as well?
In one of the Saudi shows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that in there?
It was bad.
There's some stiff competition this year.
There's lots of bad matches this year. Yeah.
All right. That's what we thought. We want to know what you guys think. A few of you on the line already. Lines are open. 1-866-729-2562.
You didn't mention the ending, though, because even after the ladder match, we still had Corbin and Reigns and Gallows and Anderson and all these guys fighting, and that's how the pay-per-view ended. It ended like a bad episode of Raw. They took the focus off the main event, and the last thing we had was people brawling for no reason at all.
Yeah, I played the clip off the top.
Okay, right.
We're going to come on back, and this will just continue all night long. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Lucky, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
And Brian's gonna make Wyatt suffer.
Fueled by rage and the Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan just ruthlessly stomping on the Universal Champion.
Well, the funny thing was, you bring back Daniel Bryan, and there was the initial pop when he came out, but ultimately, that crowd really calmed down fast, Mr. Liveransky.
Yes, yes. Yeah, again, despite the nature of the show, with lots of, you know, spectacular spots and lots of spectacular stunts, it was a quiet crowd for the majority of the show. Yes chant will always get people going.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. To those of you that are listening live right now, I am told that we're having some broadcast problems on our live feed. Sorry about that. We had some connectivity issues earlier. We are working to fix it. It may be because of the way we connected. We're going to try to turn down the levels a bit. My apologies for that, but at least you can... hopefully still hear us. And if you're on the phone, we'll be able to chat with you and go to you in just a sec. In regards to the Daniel Bryan character, though, I mean, sure, he cut his hair. Big deal. And now what do you do here? We get him and Wyatt again? Does this go?
What's
the end game?
Well, that's it. Because, I mean, at least as much as I wasn't crazy about your idea, it takes you somewhere. Yeah. This kind of says it's almost like it's over. Like maybe him and Wyatt have one more match and that's it. Like I don't see this leading to another story. At least if we had something along the lines of maybe Daniel Bryan had been brainwashed by the Fiend or some sort of mind control was going on, we would have had something, maybe ridiculous as it might be. But the way this was set up, it really didn't look like it was going anywhere.
No. Let's go to the phones, because it is our live show. If you want to get in, give us a call. The phone number is 1-866-729-2562. So let's go to our first phone call, and that is going to be, I believe, Joe from Toronto is on the line to chat. Hey, Joe.
Dan and Jay, what's going on, guys?
Joe Aguinaldo is calling the show because he's furious about the fact that he had to watch this tonight. Joe, I think you were angrier than the former Angry Agnew tonight.
I cannot even disassociate. If I could curse on this show, I would be using every expletive right now to describe how much I despise this show. You've mentioned a few things, but here's the one thing I'll mention regarding the Miz and Bray Wyatt match. Now, as a father, as a husband, if someone invaded my house and I had a chance to go after them, man, I would not come out to my cool ring entrance, awesome, and all this crap. I would be going down to the ring with, like, a big stick and laying a smackdown on this dude or whatever. So from a urgency perspective, did not buy any of this pay-per-view. I mean, even the first match, like the New Day revival match, it's like you had a two-on-one, you know, with Kofi hanging up on a ladder, and then you obviously are stalling to wait for Big E to come. And like, come on, guys. Like, it was just really dumb. I couldn't handle this pay-per-view. I don't even know why I watched it. I think I'm more upset at myself for watching this pay-per-view. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was pretty bad.
I mean, we have to say, though, you're also not a fan of the crazy matches with the garbage and the plunder and all that kind of stuff to begin with. So, I mean, this is already going in as a tough pay-per-view for you, right?
Yeah, but even some of the logic stuff. Like, I mean, come on, like, I walked away from the tag match for a bit, and when I come back, I'm like, is Becky Lynch tied to a ladder? Like, you know what I mean? It was like that kind of stupidity.
Yeah.
And it's like, it wouldn't have mattered if it was a plunder match or not. Like, it was just dumb. Like, it was stupid. And that was sort of my running theme throughout the entire pay-per-view was, this is stupid. I think the only, Jay, I totally agree with you. I think the match that I liked the most was Aleister Black versus Buddy Murphy. That was just a really good match.
Yeah,
but otherwise, everything else had something stupid in it where I was like, all right, I'm out of this match already.
I don't know if irony is the right word, but you know, you're pushing a show called TLC, and what turns out to be the best match on the card is something that
didn't have any of that.
I mean, the funny thing is, you do these stipulation matches to stand out, but the whole card was so cluttered with stipulation matches. The match that stood out was the basic match with two guys wrestling, taking advantage of an injury that looked like it happened in the match and playing to that throughout the match. So it just made sense more than anything else because it was a basic wrestling match, even though, I mean, I still don't like the way they got into that match. I don't care for sitting in a dark room and calling people out, but that one made the most sense of the night.
Yeah, I agree. And then the last thing I'm going to say is, like, was that, like, I mean, this whole Roman Reigns, Baron Corbin backstage brawl thing, it's like, that is the longest ever backstage brawl. Like, come on.
No, it was really stupid. I'm trying to figure out why it was even there.
I don't know.
Why was it there? Is there was no storyline reason for it. The match came to an ending. It was finished. We had a winner. There's no reason for them to be brawling. The sad thing it says is that feud continues and that we see more of those two on Monday.
Thank you very much for the call, Joe.
No,
thanks.
Please, no.
Well, there will be more. Thanks for the call, Joe. So you can, of course, hear Joe Aguinaldo, that is Dan Lavransky's partner, for the All Elite Weekly podcast. In our second hour, we're going to talk more about what's coming up this week for both AEW and NXT, because they're basically putting on what could be pay-per-view caliber shows
for
their quote-unquote season finales that are taking place. And we'll at the, I was going to say top of the hour, but our hours are screwed up. So at the bottom of the hour, after the next block, we're going to do a news pack for you because there's a lot of other pay-per-views that took place this weekend
Lots of stuff going on.
Well, right now we're still deep into TLC, what we watched tonight, what you probably watched tonight, and what Hansy watched tonight. So let's go to Hansy.
Boy.
Hansy,
what's going on, guys?
Listen, you wanna be positive? You got anything good to say about this show tonight?
I actually do. I'm actually surprised that everyone's so hard on this show. Maybe the reason why I enjoyed it because I'm also live tweeting while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And so many people, like, I guess because like, you guys are, you know, kind of cracking your jokes and everyone else's. So maybe that adds to my value when I watch these things. But I don't know. I enjoyed the first couple of matches. I thought the last match was pretty good, but then it just dragged on a little bit, and I thought it got overshadowed by like the whole brawl at the end. But the one thing that everyone keeps complaining about Bray Wyatt, listen, I know Agnew, you don't like Bray Wyatt's ring work, whatever. But I think it's refreshing to see a current guy being a guy that no-sells stuff a little bit, that rather than the Brock Lesnar's or the Undertaker's and all of that. And the fact that everyone, like, goes nuts over, like, Adam Cole doing 20 of his finishers and they get no-sold in NXT because they're good matches, people don't have a problem with, like, those type of things, but they have a problem with, like, a monster being built.
And hold on.
Do you guys think...
Hansy, I mean, I do. I think that a lot of the time NXT main events are absolutely overkill.
Wait, they're long, too long.
Yeah, I do think that they're too long, but along with that, I mean, I've been hypercritical of, if you look back at the Ciampa-Gargano feud and how everybody thought it was great, I thought pretty much every one of those matches was overbooked, and we've seen that as well with Gargano. I think it was Gargano and Cole, where Gargano was able to defeat what looked to be all of Undisputed. I mean, it was ridiculous. How can one man stand up against four when it's not like one strong guy and four weak guys? They're all professional athletes. So, I mean, I understand that point, but I will say that I do think NXT is overkill as well sometimes, and we'll call that out too.
Okay, no, fair enough. I was referring more to like the social media people that kind of do that. But I know you've been critical of Gargano and Ciampa. That's fair enough on that point. But before I go, let me ask you, do you guys buy into the rumors that like Bray Wyatt is just being built up for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? And do you guys think that fans now are going to accept Roman Reigns in that position? Or do you think it's going to be like 2016-17 over again and Roman Reigns will get booed again? Because I don't think this time, I think most smart fans might boo him a little bit if they feel he's going to be overpushed. But I think the majority of like the casual fans, I guess, they will actually buy into it, in my personal opinion, if that happens.
That, you know, it's interesting because the hate for Roman Reigns has really been replaced by Seth Rollins right now.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Thank you very much for the call, Hansy. What do you think, Mouth? I mean, if there is another emphasis put on Roman Reigns, because they did kind of, they have played him cool for
yes,
a little while.
That's
he
true.
Hasn't been the super focal point.
Right.
Seth Rollins took the focal point away and also took a lot of the fan hate away. So, if they go back to pushing Roman Reigns, and if it is against Bray Wyatt, I mean, I see the potential for fans to turn on
that's a tough
both
one.
Of
yeah,
those guys.
That's the thing. I think it's a combination of those two guys in particular in the same feud that would cause a problem. Especially because, I mean, certainly for me, the Bray Wyatt character, it's not working at all
no.
for me. And certainly Roman Reigns, I mean, it's up and down. I mean, it's more now that I'm not a fan of Corbin, and I just think this whole feud with the two of them has gone on too long anyways. But yeah, I could see regular fans not liking those two paired together, especially at a big show like Mania.
Roman Reigns turning heel on The Rock. And that being your main event at WrestleMania,
wow,
is gold.
That would be that's something that people would like to see a lot more. I mean, they've wanted him as a heel forever.
Well, yeah, it's just that what WWE needs is some other star to rise up to be marketed.
Right.
So they can take away the fact that Roman Reigns sells a lot of t-shirts. If someone else starts selling t-shirts, you flip Roman to be a heel, you put him in a program
with
The Rock.
Guy, yeah.
The Rock will do whatever because they're blood.
Right.
He got him into his last movie.
Yes.
You keep that rolling on. There's your main event.
That is definitely something that would be much more intriguing for sure.
Let's take a break. We'll come on back. More of your phone calls if you want to get them on in. We're definitely going to do them in the next segment. If you call 1-866-729-2562, we are live once a month right after WWE pay-per-views. This is it. Your say now, 1-866-729-2562. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, doing it on TSN Radio.
Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
Well, I can only imagine how Rusev is going to feel.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Lana. Lana! Come on!
What's she doing?
Lana ripping at the face of Rusev.
Look at those eyes.
Look
cutting
out.
Off that air.
Rusev.
What a guy.
Watch it.
Spear by Lashley.
No.
The table didn't break.
No, he's still up.
And Lashley's tossing Rusev through the table.
Breaking up.
And Dan Lebranski, breaking tables can be hard to do as well.
Yes.
Where tonight, I mean, that's not their fault. The first table forgot its spot and didn't break.
It happens every once in a while.
Yeah, it did. Unfortunately, it was just the final spot in the match. I will say, I mean, to give it any sort of positive, Lashley recovered and immediately turned Rusev around and, you know, suplexed him.
He was lucky there was another table ready to go, right? Yeah, they had the two table in each corner, so he was lucky there was another table there.
Well, Dan Lebranski, we have another phone call. We're going to go to San Antonio's on the line from Miami, so let's go. Here we go. San Antonio, what do you got for us? You got some booking.
Hey, what's up, man?
We are chatting TLC. You watched it tonight?
Hello?
Did we lose San Antonio?
No. The phone. His phone didn't sound good.
Yeah, he's gone. All right. San Antonio, give us a call back if you can. We just lost you. Your phone crapped out on us right there. And we know we've had a few tech problems tonight. Apparently, the levels are a little bit better now. And listen, if you missed any of the show because we did start early tonight, it is all available via podcast.
Yes.
It's going to go up on snmeradio.com. And along with that, it'll be up for patrons at patreon.com/snmeradio. All of it there, commercial free, all of the levels, no problemo. Now, what I did challenge our listeners to, Dan Lebranski, was to be positive. Give me a positive point about today's show. Jason Christmas said, over by 10 p.m.
Yes.
He rounded down.
Well, I've noticed just by looking at some of the comments on our Facebook page that most people are kind of like you and I in that they enjoyed the first two matches of the show and they just feel that as the show went on, it kind of fell off the track, you know, and then that's how I feel. I just feel that the show got worse and worse as it went.
Steven liked the return of short-haired Daniel Bryan.
A lot of people are bringing up the comparison of his Ring of Honor days. Yeah. A lot of people like that look. A lot of the hardcore fans, you know, obviously remember that era, you know.
I think he looked kind of like Chris Martin. Coldplay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sort of. Yeah,
no, just me.
I can see that. Maybe no, just me. I can see that.
San Antonio back on the line from Miami. San Antonio, you got this line synced up?
Yeah, gentlemen, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's
much better. Yeah.
All right, you got a booking scenario for us, so let's talk about it. What do you got?
Yeah, I was thinking if you're going to go Rock and Roman, I would see The Fiend versus The Undertaker. Undertaker puts The Fiend over, and then you can just let him ride that out for the next, you know, few years, and Undertaker doesn't look like he's going to be doing much for a while. So
is this the idea that Fiend becomes kind of your Undertaker, the new Undertaker kind of thing? He becomes your new kind of dead man, and you always keep him strong?
And then you can do Roman Fiend the next year or the Royal Rumble. Okay. You could save it for the Mania.
Let me
Roman strong. Rock puts Roman over.
Let me pause you.
Keep building it and building it.
Hold on. We have seen The Fiend and Undertaker already, have we not? We saw Bray Wyatt in The Undertaker.
We saw Bray Wyatt, right. We haven't seen The Fiend.
Oh, man.
Which I think, you know.
Are you really differentiating?
You could do Fiend, Undertaker, Mania. Oh. And then you do Roman, The Rock, and then that builds up. They could maybe even tease something. Then you just kind of ride that out for a little while.
I don't know.
You know.
I don't know what you're writing.
How do you think fans are going to react to this? Because this sounds like, once again, you want to really attach the Rocket to Reigns. And, I mean, the last time they tried to do that, it didn't work out too good.
Well, if he beats The Fiend, they're attaching the Rocket. And if he beats The Rock, they're attaching the Rocket. So either way, they're trying to attach the Rocket. He's going to the moon one way or another.
I don't know if he's necessarily going to the moon. I would say, as far as Reigns goes, I mean, I see something with Reigns and Rock. There's the bloodlines. You can play that all out. As far as Wyatt and Undertaker goes, listen, people disconnect from Wyatt once he gets into the ring. And I think that a lot of people disconnect from Undertaker now when he gets in the ring as well, because he doesn't really have it in the ring anymore all that much. So you put that combination, two negatives do not make a positive in this case. And I worry that that match will be a complete flop.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just a visual of the two alone, just a visual of them just facing off. I mean, that's the holy S moment that, you know, they look for those picture shots, those, you know, gifts and memes and all that. And I definitely think that's something that they've already shown that they could really care less how the fans react. They kind of go for revisionist history. Like, oh, that match was great when it really wasn't.
You know what? So, if you want two people standing across from one another and you want that moment, then I will, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want to see it, but I'll say it. The more magical two guys standing across from one another is Sting and Undertaker, and I don't care if they're both near 60.
Oh,
Well, I agree with you 100%. Even if they just have a face-off.
Just stand there.
Just stand there.
Attraction.
20-minute classic. 17 stars.
Please don't wrestle. Just stand there.
Special attraction. Undertaker and Sting will face off. That's
it. A staring contest.
That's it, exactly.
That's your WrestleMania main event.
They will face off. That's it. That is the end.
San Antonio.
You guys are great. Everybody support the Patreon. Everybody support the Patreon.
Thank you for calling in, and always nice to chat with you during our live shows. All right, that is San Antonio calling from Miami. It always confuses me when it's... Yes, it's his name.
Yes,
I don't get it.
Okay.
But nonetheless, he calls all the time, and he's great to chat with. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We got a bit of a mixed-up show. We started early. Also, Dave Meltzer is currently at an NXT house show, so he is not available tonight.
Right.
So what we're going to do is get you updated on what has happened this weekend and this week. We're going to do a news pack next and also chat about some of the newsy events. And then after that, we've got Turnbuckle Trivia in the next hour. And then following that, we're going to look at this week coming up, because the Wednesday Night War this week is absolutely bananas with what NXT and AEW are offering up. Your phone calls are still welcome, but we're going to dive into the news pack next. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.